is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960. And it's time for Keeping Up with the Cougars, brought to you by DentalProsOfUtah.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from Fat Daddy's. Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Get your one-of-a-kind 24-inch size Fat Daddy pizza here at the Orem location today, 93 South State Street in Orem, offering gelato at both locations. Yes, and we got it here at Orem. Mention ESPN 960 for 8 free garlic knots with your purchase. It's always pizza made right, New York City style. Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Also, if you stop in today, I got 2 free tickets. No, come on in. Come and get the pizza. Isn't it the best pizza in town? Yes, don't be afraid. Come on in and get your pizza. If you come in today, I'm going to give you free tickets to the NIT game with Utah Valley University, their quarterfinals matchup. So stop by, say hello, get some pizza, get some free garlic knots, and get 2 free tickets as well. Cameron Hunsinger, my guy, BYU fan, he just stopped by. He got pizza, he got garlic knots, and he's got 2 free tickets as well. Before we get into a Keeping Up with the Cougars segment, always brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah, DentalProsOfUtah.com, we have the owner, operator, Janine Coons, by my side to tell us a little bit about what makes Fat Daddy's unique, what makes it special, what makes it stand out amongst all the other pizza joints out there in Utah and Salt Lake County. Janine, thanks for hopping on. Tell us about the differences.
The biggest difference, I think, is we take care at every single level of our ingredients. Like, we cook off all of our onions and peppers and mushrooms beforehand so that they have your best flavor. You know, our sauce recipe is the best, I think. I've been around the country trying pizza, and I honestly can say that ours, I think, is the best. And I think just the fact that we do the hand-tossed dough.
Yep.
If you come into the Orem shop, it's an open kitchen. You can see the dough being stretched, and I know people love that. And we have little kids who come in often, and they just ooh and ah and squeal, and it's a lot of fun. So if you come to the Orem shop and can see the hand-toss, it just creates a great pizza experience for everyone. So encourage everyone to come down and see us here. So
I love that. I think it's pretty cool that this this is a locally owned and operated business. I love small business. I'm a small business owner myself, and so I'm a huge fan of small business and the successes, the trials, the adversities of that. And so I appreciate you guys doing something unique in a market that, is probably pretty saturated, and you guys are standing out amongst the rest. You guys support loyally BYU Athletics. You support ESPN 960, and so I love that about your brand and about your products.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I love BYU. I went to BYU, so I'm happy to support BYU sports. I've been a fan for a long time, so.
Well, we're excited to be here. You're going to be taking your talents this next week. I believe you're going to be attending the International Pizza Expo in Vegas.
In Vegas, that's right.
What does this entail?
So it's a vendor expo partly. So you go and kind of see what the new products are. And then they also have seminars where you learn about just making your pizza business better. I went for the first time last year and went to a class that I have taken a lot from and hope to get a lot from it this year. And then they have pizza competitions. So all kinds of, like, who can throw dough the fastest, who can, who has the best tasting pizza, who's the most creative. Like, lots of competitions that are just fun. So,
are you in any of
those? I am not.
You're not going to be in the pizza competition.
Why
I am not. I honestly couldn't throw a pizza skin until about 2 months ago. So I wasn't planning on being this whole operator, but here I am. So I had to learn how to throw a skin myself. So.
And it's cool. Female operated, yeah. Female owner. So all those ladies out there that have an entrepreneurial mindset, I always say, support. Support local. Support those that you're passionate about supporting. And I think it's cool that all the ladies out there that have that entrepreneur mindset, they should be supporting Fat Daddies.
Yeah,
Fat Daddies.
I think so. Yeah.
Indeed. And also, just to random note, I'm a big fan of the gelato. There's no doubt. But we also have milkshakes. They're in the Provo store right now. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the milkshake. You can't get them at the Orem store, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't stop in today at the Orem store. But you can't get milkshakes at the Provo travel store. Love that. So, Jeannie, appreciate you being here. Thanks for having us here. Oh, remember, Cougar Nation, Monday through Thursday, weekly lunch specials. We love for you guys to come in and set up events here, too. So, you know, especially the Provo location for events. Yep. You got TVs, et cetera. We got TVs in here, too. But we'd love to see you here. Support local. Support Fat Daddy's, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. All right. We're going to welcome in former BYU great John Beck here momentarily to discuss Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson and the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers as well. What is going to happen in the free agent trade NFL market? Aaron Rodgers has stated openly and glowingly that he wants to play for the New York Jets. And we all got excited, right? Because we're like, this is about to go down. Zach Wilson's going to be mentored by one of the greats, and the New York Jets may break the curse, right, through the accrual of talents that Aaron Rodgers brings. So let's talk about it with former BYU great. He is the QB scientist over there at 3DQB, 3DQB.com. Let's welcome in former BYU great John Beck to the show. John, how you living, man?
Man, I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Excited. You know, we're not too far away, a little less than 2 weeks out from the alumni game. Have you met with your team via Zoom? Have you distributed the playbook? Where are we at in the Team Navy, preparation?
I can't share those details. Anything that I put out there, Max Hall is going to try to get a hold of, and he's going to try to use it to get, you know, so... This is like game week. I'm not putting anything out there that the opponent can use to any bit of their advantage. So this all stays in house.
I love it.
What team are you on?
I'm on Team Navy too, man. But
I'm Navy.
Yeah, I know. We're all Team Navy.
I didn't know you were Navy.
Yeah, but I'm gonna be heading up the defense. I've reached out to Brady Papinga, Gavin Fowler. We're concocting a very complex defense
I can get hit up.
Yeah, no, we'll
how
get you.
We
get
the show,
involved.
But you don't got me.
No, we got you. I'll distribute as soon as.
Oh, it's not done yet. Okay, my bad. I was about to talk about you.
And we got to get John involved in that as well. To you know, I mean, you know all the strengths and weaknesses of Max, as do I. So we'll be able to concoct something up.
I feel
special
a little bit weird going against Max, but. You
it's
know.
All right, man. You got to do what you got to do. I mean, you also have Ty Detmer on the other side. And I know, John, you've watched
John,
a ton
though.
Of film. You know, John, you used to grow up watching and breaking down Ty Detmer film. I mean, what would you say? How can we slow down the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer, on the defensive side of the ball?
So here's one thing I do know. Those guys have an advantage because you would think that Ty, I'm trying to think how old Ty probably is now. You would think that it would be one of those situations where he's not throwing the ball that much, right? But I know that they go out there and they get an opportunity to throw quite a bit because when they have their high school kids out there, they're like, hey, I know I got the game coming up, so I'm going to get stuff in. I've just heard through the grapevine that Ty and Max are not lacking for reps. We'll just put it that way. They are getting a lot of reps because Dennis and I have been talking. We tried to hey, we got to get out there. We got to throw the ball around a little bit and – we're trying to, navigate schedules and how can we line it up. It's nice when it's built in that, you know, you have a bunch of receivers that can be there and run and you can hop in with your quarterback. You know, and knowing those two guys, I'm sure Ty's going to kind of, give a little chuckle that Ty, oh, come on now, a little chuckle and whatever. But he's probably out there throwing it around enough. So both those guys will probably be slinging it around.
Love it. John Beck here on ESPN 960. John. There's been a ton of buzz this offseason surrounding Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets. Give me your perspective on what is actually occurring right now. What is occurring behind closed doors? This deal's not done yet. Aaron Rodgers has been open about, wanting to go to the Jets. It sounds like he's either going to retire or go to the Jets. It sounds like Green Bay is not liking the offerings that the Jets have put out thus far. Give me your breakdown of what's occurring and why it's occurring this way.
So I don't have a ton of details on the situation. I'm pretty much just, there's some conversations because I train Zach that we get to have, and I don't want to share all of that stuff, right?
Sure.
That's personal stuff that you know, sits there. But, if I'm just reading it from an outside person, right, of what's been said that any person can find in the media, when he went on the Pat McAfee show and basically said, my plan is to play for the New York Jets next year, to me that's Aaron Rodgers almost being in a situation like what Brett Favre was in, where he was I know the Green Bay Packers are ready to move on. Like, they've basically told me, they've given me enough hints that they know it's time to move on to the next guy. I want to keep playing football. I want to go to a situation that I want to go to. I don't want to get dropped to someplace that I don't plan on, you know, going. So, to me, I think Aaron has pieces that are in place at the Jets. You see some of his teammates are signing there because I believe they anticipate that that's where Aaron's going. You have coaches that were there for him. The thing that I like for Zach is there are coaches that Aaron, I think, believes in development, meaning, yes, they're there for him, but I think he also understands that, like, these are good people in terms of quarterback development. And Aaron's not going to the Jets to help Zach Wilson. Like, that's not the case. I know that Aaron and Zach are friends, and they communicate, but this is not a thing of, like, I'll go there so I can help Zach. He's going there because, like, I think what Brett Favre wanted to do is you kind of want to stick it to everybody that doesn't think that you can stay where you're at, right? That, like, they're saying, well, we're ready to move to the next guy, and he's going to want to say, I want to stick it to you guys and prove that I'm still the best player in this league. So he's probably highly motivated to get there and get there as fast as he can. My guess is that it's some of the details in, just like you said, the two sides coming to some type of agreement, compensation, trade, picks, whatever it may be. I don't think that the Jets cannot get this done, right? Like, they, to this point right now, they're gonna find a way anyway, because it's gotten so far down the road. It's kind of like this needs to get done. This has to get done, especially if Aaron Rodgers is going to come out and say, that's where I want to be. How do you not get that guy to where he wants to be? Because I do believe he's still one of the best, if not the best, throwers in the game.
No doubt about it. But, you know, projecting, like, what type of impact would Aaron Rodgers have on this organization with their current talent and maybe even potential talent accrual?
Well, anytime you bring in a player with experience, experience is the thing that can overcome sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, situations. One of the toughest things to do as a quarterback is be in a tough situation in the NFL because of either the lack of experience around you or your lack of experience, injuries, and then you're trying to play in a game in a way that overcomes those things, but you don't have 50 starts, 80 starts, right? You don't have that experience to draw upon. And so a guy like Aaron, he has all that experience, especially if it's his offense, right? If Nathaniel Hackett comes, it's going to be running Nathaniel's offense, which, if you know what's happening within the walls of Green Bay, that's Aaron's offense. It's his making. It's him tweaking things. Like, when Mike McCarthy was there, Aaron used to do things at the line of scrimmage that were outside of what just a play call was, but what Aaron was doing within that offense, the things that he knew with his receivers. So he brings that, right? He's got so much experience as he stands at that line of scrimmage. He can understand whether it's a good play, a bad play. What can I do to, oh, here's what the defense is bringing. I can get us in this right now. I can go with the ball here right now. You know, nobody's perfect, but he can play in a way that overcomes the lack of experience around him. And you look what New York tried to do to help Zach Wilson last year. They tried to bring in some people to help bolster that offense based off of what it was the previous year, Zach's rookie year. So I believe there's more pieces there, and they're going to try to continue that. And who knows who else comes once Aaron, you know, does end up there. But I would say having a guy like that, it can help overcome some of those early stages of new offensive coordinator, new system for some of those young guys. Because what's tough on the young guys is the guys that have been there for 1 to 2 years at the Jets, they were spending time getting more acquainted with that system that was there, gaining experience there. Now Aaron comes in and it's going to be a whole new offense. Well, that can help them when they got a guy that's the signal caller that's out there on the field. It can make that happen faster, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Explain a little bit how these relationships between quarterbacks are created. You mentioned that Zach's got a good relationship with Aaron. We know that Zach looked up to Aaron as a player growing up. He wanted to maybe mimic and replicate what Aaron did, how he threw mechanically, etc. Being a oh my goodness, hello early, oh my goodness, I just had a big fan of the show show up. So, but explain how these relationships come about and maybe what that relationship dynamic could be between Aaron and Zach.
Well, you know, it goes back to when I think it was Zach's rookie year. They got to do a full week practice with the Packers. And it was, you know, an opportunity for him to be able to talk to Aaron in between series while, you know, special teams is going on. The quarterbacks can kind of get together and chat. And I know that, like, that kind of, like, is what started. And then they kind of stayed in touch with text at times here or there. You know, look, quarterbacks, at times, you mesh really well with other quarterbacks just because of similarities, right? Similar paths, similar experiences, similar mindsets, right? Like, that's why, like, people assume that in the quarterback room in the NFL or in college football, you have all these guys that are, like, super competitive with each other and they're not friends. Like, that's not really the case. A lot of the times, there's a lot of strong bonds in the quarterback room. Even when guys are competing against each other, they still get along really well because, you know what, you're actually really similar to each other in a lot of ways. And, yeah, there can always be that guy that's in the room that doesn't mesh well or that guy that maybe from a personality standpoint isn't the easiest. But a lot of the time, you know, you have great experiences in that quarterback room with the other quarterbacks. And I would guess that, like, those guys, like with Zach and Aaron, right, there's so many similarities. And I think Aaron, a lot of older quarterbacks, they can recognize, man, here's a talented dude that's coming into the league. Here's a young guy that's going to be able to do some things. And, like, I know for me personally, like, I didn't get to be that guy that got to have a ton of success in the league and was viewed at as a guy that, like, oh, my gosh, like, he's succeeding. Let's listen to what he has to say. But I'm just going to say, just as, like, a human, having gone through experiences, a lot of the experiences that I went through prepared me to, like, to mentor people going through hard things. And so, like, you enjoy the ability to pass on some things that can help somebody else. I think just as a human, that, like, experience of helping somebody else, like, it's a fun experience to be a part of, right? And you enjoy watching that person. Like, I know when I've helped guys that come through the pre-draft process and then they go and they have success in their first or second year young, like, I love having that experience of watching them accomplish some things and knowing that you've been able to help a little bit. And so I'm sure that Aaron feels that to some degree. Like, of course, when he goes there, like I said, it's not about him mentoring Zach. It's about him succeeding, proving what he can do, and wanting to make a run. Like, I'm sure one of the reasons why he feels comfortable there is because the defense he believes that they have, the relationships, what he thinks they can accomplish, you know, and that challenge of let's take the Jets to the playoffs. Like, I'm sure Aaron, as a competitive individual, loves that challenge. But to me, like, that's where, like, that, like, comfort of, like, helping somebody else. Quarterbacks, I think some guys, they do enjoy that. Like, I think of Josh McCown. Like, he was so great. He was a teammate of mine my second year. And we were both competing against each other at the time. But he was such a good human, such a great individual. And I watched him throughout his career be that guy that was starting in games, knowing that here's a young buck that I'm going to help out. And he's such a great mentor. And that's why he's back in the league coaching right now, because he's going to be that for whoever they draft. So there's some guys that are really good about that. And, you know, I got to have a chance to be around Aaron for a number of years in the offseason training with him. And, you know, he's as competitive as they come. But he's also a good dude, and he's going to be, you know, I think a great thing for Zach because he has opened himself up a little bit to, like, allowing Zach to ask questions and help him out.
John Beck, former BYU great here on ESPN 960. A couple things I want to get your thoughts on. Keaton Slovis, a guy that you've trained. I know we've talked a lot of NFL in this segment, Zach Wilson, et cetera, but Keaton Slovis looks to be QB1, solidifying himself as that guy in spring ball. Man, he spins it. He's got a great arm. He's got good vision. Give us a description, maybe a skill set breakdown of what Keaton brings to Provo, what you like about him, what stands out about Keaton when he throws the football and operates an offense.
Well, I can tell you, even not just from my own personal opinion, because some people may be like, oh, well, it's biased. He's been training him for the last few years. I can just tell you from NFL evaluators how they're going to view him, right? Keaton is going to be able to have that pinpoint accuracy on the short to intermediate throws that teams are really going to like. The way that he plays with his base, and I know that for some people, they'll be like, what does that mean, play with the base? It's being able to move, have these subtle movements, and stay within a platform that's going to allow you to drive the ball accurately somewhere. Keaton has enough athleticism, right? Like, you have to be able to, in today's NFL game, you have to be able to have enough mobility, enough athleticism to succeed. That's why Keaton is a draftable prospect already for the NFL draft. So to be able to have somebody like that come into the BYU system, there's a lot of throws there that Keaton is going to be able to make routinely. You know, sometimes you look at what I call NFL litmus test throws, right? They're that 18 to 20 yards to the sideline deep end breakers. And those are the throws that teams want to see. How does the guy drive that ball accurately to that space? Those are the throws that Keaton does so well. You know, also the way that Keaton understands offenses and defenses. It's great to have a guy that's coming in with as much experience as he has. Like, I can't grab the statistics of how many games he's played. But when you get a guy that steps into an offense having that much experience, the things that that offense is going to require of him to understand to run it successfully, it's not going to take Eden as much time in that offense as it maybe would somebody else with less experience. He's going to be able to draw upon the systems that he's been in, the defenses that he's faced, and that system's going to make sense to him really quick. It's going to be more about him lining up with his teammates, about gaining that, like, chemistry with them. And it seems to me, and what I followed in my talking with Keaton and being able to come up here or there, have Keaton come out to California, like, it seems like it's going really, really well. The thing, like, and I think I've said this before, like, when I made the statement to Keaton, what about BYU? Would you consider coming to BYU? And as those talks progressed, my number one thing was I just wanted it to be a good experience. I wanted it to come together the correct way. It's like probably how you feel when you're setting up like a family member with somebody or a really good friend with somebody, right? Like, and you feel really good about like what the match could be. But at the end of the day, you almost feel like you put your neck out there like, well, crap, I don't want this to go bad because then I feel like it's on me. You know, but all those things that I was just like a little bit apprehensive, like, you know, gosh, I really hope it can come together well. I believe it can, but you just never know. It seems to me like, I know we're still young in this thing. It's just a few weeks into spring ball, but it seems like those things are happening with the feedback that I'm hearing from people close to it, from coaches and from Keaton. It seems like, okay, the meshing together has gone really, really well. Now it's about what happens during fall camp as they prepare for competition. And then also, what is their competition like? Like, I'm already peeking at some of the, like, projections for the Big 12 because I feel like, man, I'm kind of responsible for a lot of these things. I really hope it goes well. And I start looking, and I'm like, they got a tough slate. Like, there is going to be some tough games, and it's going to come down to a lot of fourth-quarter play for BYU to win some of those games. But that's the exciting part, too, for quarterback development. You want somebody to be prepared for the NFL, they better know what it feels like to almost every single fourth-quarter games on the line.
John Beck here on ESPN 960. John, there are so many moving parts to the success, the ultimate success of a quarterback. I know Aaron Roderick is looking at adding an additional couple of receivers, a couple of targets for Keaton heading into this first year of the Big 12. How do all of these components add to the success of Keaton Slovis in 2023, the offensive line, you know, the returning offensive line, the tight ends, Isaac Rex coming back, and there's Ethan Erickson stepping up. You have the trifecta of returning wide receivers, Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, and Keanu Hill. And then you have a good running back in Aiden Robbins and Hinkley Ropati. But explain kind of these moving parts and how important it is possibly to add an additional couple of wide receivers that can do something that these other targets cannot.
So I'm going to answer this question in terms of play calling. Play calling is not just about scheme alone. It's not just about, oh, this is what defense they run. Well, then let's run this play because this concept is good versus that defense. Play calling is all about personnel. Can my personnel execute what I'm asking them to do? Because you can have the greatest play call in the world, but if your personnel cannot execute the play, the chances of it being efficient and effective go down. So there's all these different components to why certain plays work or what needs to happen or who needs to run a person where, who needs to put somebody in a bind. If that person can get to this area in the right time. Like, there was a little clip I saw, I think 2 weeks ago, where, I just blanked on the head coach of USC. Why am I? I just
Lincoln
totally
Riley.
His name.
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley. And he's talking about play calls and like how tough it is to get people. It's not just about getting guys open. It's getting guys open in the right time because of how the quarterback is going to progress through the play. He's saying that because of all this experience that he calls. Like, of course, Lincoln Riley knows how to call plays that beat certain coverages. But it's not just about that. It's about the personnel and getting them to those spots in the right time. All of that affects the quarterback. If you don't have those personnel components functioning, it affects the quarterback and it affects the play caller success. Like, you could have a very intelligent play caller that has a lot of experience, and he can look like he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's not because he doesn't. It's because of the personnel. So that's why it's so important. Quarterbacks, offensive coordinators, they all depend so much on those pieces that are around them. The tough part of, like, look, yes, it would be great to bring in people. You know, and that's not a knock to the people that are there. It's basically saying, like, these pieces can help because in terms of play calling, when you add that element on the outside or you improve that element on the outside, it now impacts the type of plays that you can call. Well, what happens if injuries happen, right? Now that has to be tweaked. What happens if you don't have those pieces? That affects everybody. And that's why it's so important from a personnel standpoint, especially in this era of what I'm going to call collegiate free agency. Like, the transfer portal has now made college football have a free agency aspect to it. And that's why teams go and grab guys. That's why you wonder, why did this team let this running back go? Why did this team? It's because they're looking at it like, okay, we can bring this running back back. But if we bring him back and we pay him X amount of money, now do we have the money to be able to bring in this other element that we know we absolutely need to be more effective in our offense? Maybe it's not about the running back, but it's about bringing in these skill guys on the outside. Maybe it's about bringing in a second tight end. We have to do that if we want to have our offense be more effective. And that's why sometimes outside people go, well, this move doesn't make sense. That's because you're looking at the move based off of, like, stars. Well, why are we letting that star go? And the football people are basing it off of execution. These are the pieces that we need to try to get, because from an execution standpoint, the coordinator needs it and the quarterback needs it. And that's also why you wonder, man, well, why does the quarterback not look as good this year? Why does it look like things aren't working? The quarterback hasn't gotten worse. I tell this to people all the time. You don't have a quarterback that has had success, and if the next year he's struggling, it's because he somehow got worse, right? No, what happens is that, like, the pieces around him, the mixture around him, has changed a little bit, and he's trying to find a way to navigate that to still be successful. And that's why the NFL game can be so challenging, especially when you're in those challenging situations, injuries, personnel, all of that. So going back to answer your question, what does Keaton Slovis need, or why does it need to work that way? Like, any element that they can bring in to make the play calling more effective is going to help the quarterback.
Yeah, I think, like, an addition that they gave John Beck once upon a time, Todd Watkins. How impactful was Todd to the offense and also the ability for you to have some success within the offense?
Yeah, and look, Todd completely changed what we were able to do down the field. Like, if I were to go back and say, like, you know, my own self back then, like, didn't know all that much. It was great to have a guy that, hey, bombs away. Like, my favorite plays in football, I love chucking bombs, right? I love flea flickers, all that stuff. It was great to have Todd. Looking back, if I could go back as the offensive coordinator there, I would have said, like, okay, well, now that we got to have this element, you know, we spent a ton of time chucking bombs at practice. We spent a ton of time in games chucking bombs, and it was fun. It was exciting. But if you look at our third down efficiency, and, like, I don't remember. That was too long ago for me to remember. But, like, we weren't that great. We probably weren't that great at moving the chains. We probably weren't that great at having consistent drives. We kind of lived and died by the bomb or for, like, scrambling around and picking something up. So, like, if I could go back then and talk to my own self, okay, where could we now get better? Let's get better at working through the progression. Let's get better at understanding when the deep thing is there and when it's not there, and how can we be really efficient on third down. That's when you really can take your entire game to the next level, when you add pieces but you don't depend on those pieces. That makes sense. Like, have a deep threat, but don't depend on it where you're constantly going to that well and you're living and dying by it. Bring that piece in, but then also know what that other piece can open up. And I'm sure, like, if I were to go back and sit in those, you know, film rooms and whatnot, like, I'm sure I would be looking at my own self being like, hey, dude, you got to, like, look at this right here. Hey, pay attention to this, whatnot. Like, and I remember being a young guy trying to figure it out. And that's where having experience in the room, having sometimes that opportunity to watch other people run the system effectively can really help a young quarterback. And I'm going to almost use how I'm answering all this BYU personnel stuff to go back to the original questions the NFL based about Zach and Aaron. This is where I believe Zach is almost going to get to go back in time. And what would have been great for him in his first season to get, watch somebody run and execute an NFL offense efficiently. Sit in the meetings after the games during the week and watch that person talk through the why. This is why I believe if you look at the NFL, look at how many guys backed up great quarterbacks that then put together these long careers. You look at a guy like Brian Hoyer, backed up Tom Brady, played in some games. He has been in the league forever. You look at Chase Daniel, backed up Drew Brees. He has been in the league forever. Why do these guys consistently get on teams, stay in the league? It's because of the things that they learned watching somebody run an NFL offense at a very, very high level. This is where I believe for Zach, it's going to really benefit him, getting to now be in a room, watching, listening, observing, getting feedback directly from the person that's running it in Aaron Rodgers and of why it's successful. This is what I think can really help Zach. And he's getting it in year three. Would have been great to get it in year one. But regardless, Zach's young. There's a ton of time. I think it can be great for his personal development.
Starting quarterback, Team Navy, John Beck, alumni game coming up in about a week and a half. John, we salute you. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on today.
Yeah, it'll be great to see you guys up there. I always enjoy seeing teammates and whatnot. And it's on you guys now to stop Max and Ty, right? Come on now.
We got it.
Don't put that pressure on me.
Yeah, we got that. We got it, man. No problem whatsoever. I got no problem. All we got to do is show cover four to Ty. He won't know what to do. Max, on the other hand, I mean, you never know what Max is going to try to do. But I imagine he's going to try to push the ball down the field. I'm going to make him dink and dunk the entire game.
I thought he was going six.
Dink and dunk the entire game for Max. John, thanks so much, man. Thanks for hopping on.
All right. See you guys.
There you go. That's John Beck, Keeping Up with the Cougars, brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah, dentalprosofutah.com. If you've been told you need a filling, crown, root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah, where they utilize the best biomimetic techniques. These are minimally invasive techniques to rebuild your teeth layer by layer so you don't have to settle for fake teeth later on in life. Choose biomimetics. Choose Dental Pros. Check out their Google reviews. You will not be disappointed. We're live from Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Stop in, say hello, talk some Cougar sports with me. I want to give away some Utah Valley University NIT tickets to the quarterfinals. If you come in, purchase a pizza, I'm going to get you 8 free garlic knots with that purchase if you mention ESPN 960, and I'm going to get you 2 free tickets to that quarterfinals matchup at the UCCU Center coming up tomorrow. We're going to go to break. Coming up next, Casey Lundquist will join us from BYU Sports Illustrated. Don't miss it. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.